tell you where we're going. Because if I tell you the scripture, then you'll know where I'm going. So I'm wanting to surprise you, I guess, and so to speak, in a way. All right, we got it. All right. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and turn there, but I want to wait just a minute before I tell you where we're going to turn, all right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. I certainly need the Lord to help us today. Our Father in heaven, as we bow in Jesus' name, Lord, we realize this morning that without you we can do nothing. And Lord, we realize this morning that if there's anything ever done, you're going to have to do it. And Lord, our eyes are upon you this morning. Our focus is, Lord, upon you. And Lord, we're needy people. I'm a needy preacher today. Lord, I'm a needy Christian. I need your help. I need you to speak to me and through me today. Lord, I pray that you will allow the Word of God to be powerful and quick and sharp and penetrating and convicting. Allow the Spirit of God to have liberty and freedom to work in us, on us, and through us. Dear Lord, we know that there's a lot of people gone on vacation today, but I'm glad that you are not on vacation. Lord, I'm glad that you never take a vacation. You never need a break. Lord, your eyes are constantly over the righteous and your ears are open unto our cries. And Lord, we ask that you would help us that are here this morning to be focused. Lord, help us this morning to search our heart, even at the beginning now of the message, that our hearts would be clean before you. Because Lord, you cannot use unclean vessels. Lord, vessels of dishonor you can't use. May we purge and sanctify ourselves, Lord, that we would be meet for the Master's use. Lord, we thank you this morning for all of our visitors that are present with us today. Lord, they are honored guests. And Lord, we are appreciative that they are here. But I know, Lord, that I cannot help them nor our members, Lord, in and of and by myself. I need the power of God. Lord, we know that if all that we hear this morning is the voice of a man, and all we hear is the words that would come from my lips, that that's all that we hear. We will get in our vehicles in a little bit, unmoved and unchanged, and every sinner will go unsaved away from this place. But I'm praying, dear God, today that you will help us, oh, as only you can. Lord, your work can only be done by you. And we know you're very capable of doing it. Lord, you're willing to do it, able to do it. Lord, if you can have a channel to work through. And Lord, I want to be a channel today. Not for praise, Lord, not for any recognition on my part, but that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. I bring to my attention, Lord, everything that I need to see and say. Lord, help us to be calm in spirit, Lord, this morning. Deliver us from nervousness. Lord, I pray that my mind will be, Lord, focused, clear, where I can think, Lord, your thoughts. Lord, help me to have spiritual discernment, that, Lord, I would say those things that you won't say. Lord, I can't make anything happen. Lord, if we'll get where we need to be, Lord, as a church, Lord, we can see things happen. Lord, we can have September for souls or an emphasis of this sort every month. But Lord, nothing will happen without the touch and power and presence of God. Lord, your will to be done now. We'll give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning by simply making this statement. That you choose to live where you do. You choose to live where you are living. And I'm not talking about necessarily just how you're living. That is a choice. But where you live. I live in Rogersville, Tennessee. Because I choose to live here. Isn't that right? Nobody made me come. Nobody forced me to come. God led me here. But the bottom line is I'm here by choice. And so it is with you. And so it is with the world's population. They're living where they are
by choice. And if they don't like where they're living, then they're making a choice to leave. That's why you have people crossing the borders. That's why you have plane tickets and train rides and boat rides. They're leaving. If they want to leave, they're leaving. If they possibly can leave, they're leaving. And amen. If you don't like America, get on a plane. Amen. They sell one-way tickets all the time. This is the red, white, and blue. Amen. I thought about putting on a church sign one time. If you don't like it, leave it. But I thought that wasn't spiritual, so we didn't do it. Amen. But the truth is, you choose where you live. Most of the time, when there's a move to be made and you're going to choose another place of abode, most of the time you're going to consider what is there and what is not there. Try to follow me now. I don't normally preach like this, and it's a little different style for me, but it's all right. We look at the place. We'll Google it, if you will. We'll pull it up and we'll look at various aspects about our new destiny, our place that we're going to be choosing to live. Amen. I think a person's only wise to do that, to know a little bit about where you're going. Don't you think that would be wise? Usually, if there's no attractions, no source of relaxation, no enjoyments, no pleasures, everything there spells misery, and every conscious thought is, I hate this place, more than likely, you'll never move to that place. Am I right on that? I mean, if you do your research, you do your homework, and you find not one positive thing said about the place, you will probably not go there individually, nor will you try to take your family there. Amen. Amen. Why would anyone choose to live in a place where everything is negative and terrible and nothing positive? Now, let me ask you three proposed questions that the Lord put in my heart. Would you live where it is hot? I did some research. I found out that there are places on earth that have atmospheric temperatures of 136 degrees with surface temperatures of 150 plus temperature. I don't think I'd want to go there, do you? I mean, I can't hardly stand 85 degrees. You know, I mean, listen, I'll get out of my air-conditioned house, which my wife usually has it set to hang meat in, but I go outside, and if it's anything, you know, much above 80 or 90, it feels good for a while, but then I start sweating. I've been to the Philippines, and I told them over there when I preached that 10, was over there 10 days to preach that camp meeting. I told them, I said, I know now why all of the Filipinos have jet black hair. They said, why, preach? I said, because it's scorched. They don't have handkerchiefs. They have towels over their shoulder that they wipe the sweat with. I mean, it is unbearable. You can't stand it. Honduras was that way. Amen. New Mexico was that way. It was hot, hot, hot. And when I left, I said, adios, amigos. I was glad to be departing. Amen. Why? I can't stand it. I mean, I don't even want to go to a place that's 100 plus degrees. Do you? If I was planning to make a move, Brother Krutschko, to a place, if I was going to go live somewhere, and I Googled it, Brother Klepper, and it said 115 degrees or 100 degrees or whatever, I'd exit off. Wouldn't you? I think that'd be wise. But would you live in a place where it is hot? I found out that NASA has recorded temperatures in a place in Iran called Lut Desert, and they have recorded on record 159.3 degrees. You know, I don't think there'd be too many people wanting to visit there, much less live there. And probably you couldn't live in such conditions. Death Valley in California have recorded a temperature of 134 degrees. That's pretty warm, wouldn't you say? You'd probably perspire a little in there, no doubt. But most of the really hot places on planet Earth, humans do not choose to live there. Wow. What about that? I mean, I found that out. I found out that a lot of places on Earth that are got 100, 115, even 120 degree temperature is inhabited by people. They've learned to deal with it. They can put up a tent. There's some shade they can get in. There's water to drink, food to eat. They can survive even in such temperatures. Not me. I'm not going there. But they do. But I found out, of course, and this is all just regular information for us this morning, that I found out that two-thirds of our Earth's surface is covered by water. Two-thirds. That leaves one-third, right? One-third is landmass. One-third of that third is deserts. Uninhabited deserts. And as I began to look into that, why is it uninhabited? Two reasons. Heat and no water. Why would anybody want to live in a place that's hot? I don't understand that. Amen? And without water, they will not do it. But I found out that those desert places, for the most part, are uninhabited by humans. Why? Because not even human beings choose to live where it's extremely dry and extremely hot, where it's hot and no water. Are you listening? Amen. Most of the deserts in our world are clustered between the 5 and 30 degrees north or south of the equator. Hottest place on earth. Much of the deserts in the world are uninhabited. Some are, most are not. How many here today would choose to live in a place with such intense, unbearable heat? Raise your hand. I want your autograph after the service. Are you listening? So you're agreeing with me this morning, preacher. A wise person, a person with any sense at all, that have a matter of choice presented to them, would not choose to live in a place where it's intensely hot. Am I right? Let me give you another question. And by the way, I did some research on it. Before somebody makes a move from one place to live in another place, that's one of the things that they consider is the climate. The climate. Number two, I want to propose a second question to you this morning is, not only who would want to live in a place that is very hot, or number two, who would want to live in a place inhabited with ungodly people? I mean, if you're going to make a move now, if you was going to move from Rogersville to wherever, would you go there knowing that the crime rate is very high? People's dying, getting killed there all the time. Robbery is an everyday, several times a day occurrence. How many would say, oh yeah, that's where I want to go. I want to raise my family there. That I want to live in not just a hot place. I want to live in a place that is hostile, a place that is filled with wicked people. I found out, Brother Silas, that when people are making a move far as to live a different location, they look at the crime rate. They look at, a lot of times they'll even get police reports and ask, which neighborhood is safe to live in? What should I avoid? Most people would never live in a place that are inhabited with murderers and thieves. Would you? Would you do that? Would you move your family? Would you go and live at a place that was inhabited with murderers and thieves and liars and rapists and child molesters and drunkards and drug lords and drug pushers and addicts and adulterers and sodomites and whoremongers and sorcerers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Would you go there? Not me. Not me. In fact, if anybody's got any sense and they're in such a place, if it is possible to leave, they would leave. A wise person would not even visit such a place. A wise person would not even take and go visit on a vacation to a place that has high crime rate, where you're always in danger of being molested robbed or even killed. You know, I wouldn't do that. Amen. A wise person will avoid such a place. Some of you know where I'm going. But research shows that one thing is considered before choosing a place to live is statistics and crime rates. And is there something there that we need to look at as dangerous? We propose a third question. How many would not only live in a place that's hot? I'm talking about in our, what we would reckon as hot, 100 degrees or whatever, 100 plus, who would live in a place with ungodly people and inhabited with ungodly people? Thirdly, would you live in a place that is always dark? Simple question. Would you move, if you was going to move somewhere, Brother Martin, you live in Memphis, would you move to a place that you knew before you got there, constant darkness? I wouldn't even entertain the second thought of going. It don't matter what the paycheck would be. I wouldn't move. Can you imagine that? We can't imagine that. We can't imagine. We can't get a hold of that. But do you realize that in the northern part of Alaska, there are places that it is dark all day, every day? The closer to the North Pole and South Pole you get, I found out that there are places that is constantly dark, constantly. No light. No light. I found out that there's a place in northern Alaska where the sun sets in late August, but it never comes back up till April the next year. Now we look forward to our nighttime. Why? Because we're going to go to sleep. And we know that in just a few hours, the sun's going to come up and it's not going to be so bad. We've got another day. But can you imagine 24 hours a day dark? That'd drive me nuts. We have a missionary family. We have a missionary family in the St. Lawrence Island in Alaska. Brother Kevin and Mr. Tara Smith are our missionaries in the St. Lawrence Island. And they have days on end of darkness. Days on end of darkness. And he said that even on that island where they are ministering, he said that during those days and weeks of nothing but pure, constant darkness, he said that the suicide rate escalates as people living in constant darkness see no reason to live and everything's depressing and they end up, many of them, attempting and some succeeding in killing themselves. I want to ask you here this morning, would you choose to go and live in a place of constant darkness? Now, I could handle constant light. I believe I could deal with that. I mean, you know, you can set your clock to go to bed and put blinders over your eyes. You can fool yourself thinking it's dark, but constant darkness, I couldn't handle that. Why would anybody choose to go to a place that is hot, live in a place that is inhabited with wicked, threatening, dangerous, ruthless people? Why would you choose to live in a place that is constantly dark? Well, if you hadn't figured it out by now, we have a man in Luke chapter 16 that did such a thing. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. We have a man in our text, and by the way, I just want you to know this is not a parable. This is not a fictitious story trying to convey a spiritual truth. Because the Word of God said there was a certain rich man. And if there wasn't a certain rich man, God would not have said there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, listen at that, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being, that's still present tense right now as I speak, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come. You can believe that. Those, if they had an opportunity, there's not one individual in hell that would say, no, I pass, I don't want out, I'm going to stay here. Everybody, anybody in hell today would gladly, a million plus times over, swap places with you this morning. They would love to be able to sit on a church pew or turn a radio dial on and hear a radio message or, amen, get some kind of a gospel input where they could have an opportunity to get saved by the grace of God. If we could open up the top of hell this morning and let the first one out, the second one out, the third one out, no matter who it is, just at random, who's first, who's second, who's third, no matter who they are or how they lived when they were on earth, they would not go to a bank first, they wouldn't go to a ball game first, they wouldn't go to no pleasure points first, they would make a beeline as fast as they could to get under the sound of the gospel. They would knock on a preacher's door, they would knock on 1,000 doors to find one saved person that could tell them from the Bible how they could be saved. No doubt about it. No doubt about it, friend. They would come from thence. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. In light of my message this morning, lest they should come to live here. And lest they should come to this place to live. This place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, rather Abraham, or Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet speaking of the word of God, the recorded word of God, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Are you listening? Though one rose from the dead. And by the way, if you're here today and you're lost, you've got all three of them. You've got Moses, and you got the prophets. You have the complete, finished word of God, but you also have one that rose from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ, and many, a multitude still do not believe. I propose those three questions to you. Who would live and choose to live? Choose to live. Remember what I started the message with. You choose to live where you're living. Amen. It's a matter of choice that you're living where you're living. Who would choose to live in a place of intense heat? Who would choose to live in an inhabited place of wicked people? Who would choose to live in a place of complete and constant unbearable darkness? Who would? Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's multitudes that'll leave off of the scene today around the world that will slip out into a Christless eternity. And yes, friend, they will choose to go to a place of intense heat. Now, when I dealt with that proposed question earlier, I gave you some records of heat temperatures on planet Earth as recorded by NASA and so on. 150 whatever degrees it was the highest. Death Valley, 134. Numerous places, 115 to 120 degrees. Are you listening? But what is that compared to hell? What is 150 degrees compared to the heart of the earth where hell is? The center in the heart of the earth that has been estimated anywhere from 9 to 11,000 degrees. Are you listening? That's unbearable. That's unbelievable. We can't get a hold of that. I mean temperatures that melts iron with ease. Amen. And you give us a little, just a little taste, or not a taste, but an idea of what kind of temperatures is in the heart of the earth. It's when a volcano erupts. Oh, that is, Brother James, is hell spewing out. Now, Isaiah chapter 5 tells us that hell hath enlarged herself. Amen. See, there was a time that paradise was in the heart of the earth as well. There was on one side of the gulf, there was hell, and then there was a great gulf, and then there was paradise. But then after the resurrection, Jesus moved paradise to the heavens, or to heaven. Amen. Even Paul said that he was caught up into paradise, the abode of God. Hell now, friend, because of the multitudes over the years, and every time the second hand ticks on the clock, multitudes of people slips out into a Christless eternity. And hell, my friend, is populated with people. The Bible said in Isaiah 5:14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Do we really believe this morning that there is a place called hell? Hell is just as real as heaven is. Are you listening? I mean, we've heard it said that Jesus spoke more on hell than he did on heaven. Why? That was his purpose for coming, was to save men, women, boys, and girls from going to this awful place of intense heat. By the way, just want to let you know that if you go to hell, you're going as an intruder. You're not going there as a welcomed guest. You're going there as an intruder, because the Bible tells us plainly in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 25 and verse number 41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. My, my. A place of intense heat. 9,000 to 11,000 degrees. Would you choose to go and live a place of intense heat? If you're lost here today, I'm telling you. I'm not asking you to believe the preacher. I'm asking you to believe this book. This book records it, friend, that there's a place called hell. It exceeds our ability to imagine. It exceeds our ability to define and to describe. Because there's nothing like it on planet Earth ever. But yet that's where men, women, boys and girls, and I want to make it more personal, you here today under the sound of my voice, if you die without Jesus Christ, that is where you will choose to live. And those places on planet Earth that I mentioned that have high temperatures and surface temperatures, a lot of those places have people lives in it, but there's places they can get out of the sun. They've got tents. They've got some kind of shade. They've got some kind of provision. But we're talking about going into a place of intense, unbearable, unexplainable, unimaginable, unescapable heat. No shade, no water, no comfort, and no escape. I asked you a question earlier about the thing I proposed. Would you go to a place to live that's inhabited with the wicked people? You wouldn't do that earthly speaking. You wouldn't take up your residence in an earthly place on earth that had a high crime rate. You was constant in danger of murder or various other crimes. You wouldn't do that. But if you're dying lost without God today, I'm going to tell you, you're headed for a place. And I didn't have time to do all the research on it that I would have liked to. But I punched in and Googled it, the most notorious, wicked, evil people that has ever lived. And there was people come up I'd never even heard of. And I mean, it didn't just give their name. It told what they did. And some of them were innocent-looking females that were violent and torturous and murderers. Would you want to go live in a place, and this is if these people died lost, okay? Would you want to go live with Osama bin Laden? He was one of the names. Would you want to go live with Adolf Hitler? Would you want to spend the rest of, but eternity with Adolf Hitler and his like, Jack the Ripper, Boston Strangler, Saddam Hussein, Jeffrey Dahmer, Nero, Joseph Stalin, to only name a few. Every person, every child molester, every rapist, I'm talking people that have been so ruthless and merciless that they perform such crimes, amen, of mutilation. If they don't get saved, guess where they're going? And many of those that have been guilty of mass murders and ruthless killings and mutilation and all of those things, they would do it again if they got a chance. We can't imagine it. We cannot imagine it, but they got some kind of pleasure out of that. Inflicting pain, watching people suffer. And if they're in hell, they'll still like it. Have you thought about that? The Bible gives us some lists. The Bible gives us some lists, ladies and gentlemen, of those that are in hell. Several of them in hell, a lot of them in hell. And I want to say this too, lest you misunderstand. I'm not saying that it's only wicked people that's there. The same, listen, and they didn't go to hell because they killed people. And I'm not making light of that. They are not in hell because they're murderers or liars or whoremongers or any of that. They're in hell because they never did business with God about sin and salvation. They never repented of their sin. They never got right with God about their sin. That's why that they're in hell. And I want to say to magnify the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that if Adolf Hitler is wicked and ruthless and heartless as he was, if he had, before he died, been dealt with by the Spirit of God and bowed a knee of repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's power in the blood of the Lord and grace with God to have saved him, and we could have spent eternity in heaven with him. Thank God there's room at the cross for anybody that'll be saved. Thank God. My soul, amen. The Bible talks about a group of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that the Bible is very clear to say will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Now this doesn't just describe people that are there, but it's describing people that are going. Fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Just for the record, that's the sodomites. Are you listening? The effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What does that list tell us? That list tells us that not everybody's going to heaven. Everybody can. Everybody can go, but everybody won't go. Not because they cannot, it's because they will not go. They will not get saved. They will not believe. They will not repent of sin. And I want to say to all that's listening to me this morning, if you don't believe the Bible, I can't help you anyway. If you don't believe that the Bible declares that there's a place called hell, a place of intense heat, a place that's inhabited with wicked people that are still wicked, a place of darkness, the Bible says so, and if you don't believe the Bible, I can't help you anyway. God can't save anybody that don't believe the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Are you listening? So we looked at that place of intense heat. Who would want to choose to live there? And if you're lost, every day that you keep going on in a lost condition, you're making a choice. I'm going to go live in a place of intense heat. And by the way, in light of these things I'm dealing with, it's very simple, but it's in my heart. In light of this, you better make sure you're saved. You better not go off of a hope so and a might be and could be and maybe it will be and I'll wait to find out deal. Friend, when you make, listen, if I made a move and went to some place that was hot and inhabited with wicked people, crime rates high, and it's dark all the time, you know what? The same bus or plane or boat that got me in there will get me out of there. I'll make a quick choice and probably won't take me but just a day or so, if that long. I'm leaving. But if you go to the place I'm preaching about this morning, there are no exit doors. There are no exit signs. You go in, but you do not go out. But it's also a place, not only a place of intense heat, a place that's inhabited wicked people. And there's other lists. They're in Revelation. There's two different passages in Revelation that talks about people that'll be in hell. Chapter 21 talks about there in verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Did I just describe you? If you're saved, I didn't describe you. Amen. Chapter 22 of Revelation, the Bible says, in verse number 15, but without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. It's inhabited with wicked people. But you know what else, brother? I just thought of this just now. Listen. You know who else is there inhabiting that place? I mean, if you were to go to a place, Brother J.R., for some reason we moved to a place and we maybe we didn't Google it, amen. Maybe we didn't check it out and we got there and it was hot. We could leave. We got there, we didn't Google it, didn't check it out. We made our move and we got there and crime rates at an all-time high. You're on a constant threat of being murdered or molested or robbed or worse. We could leave. Amen. If we get there and it's a place of darkness, we can leave. Amen. Most of us has got a cell phone that can turn a light on, praise God. Amen. We're leaving. I'm out of here. But if you go to a place I'm preaching about this morning, there's no escape. It's hot. Unimaginably hot. It's inhabited with wicked people, but Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. I mean, it would be bad. It'd be bad, Brother Randy, if I made a move, wound up in hell and had to spend eternity with Adolf Hitler or any of those that I mentioned or many multitudes more just like them. But what would be far worse is to have to spend eternity with the one that was behind all of the murders, all of the rapists, all of the idolaters, all of the lying, all of the thievery and the stealing, amen? Behind it all is the mastermind, the devil himself. Can you imagine? As bad as some of those I listed, some of those, as bad as they were, can you imagine? Spend eternity with them? Living in their neighborhood, living in their same area, would you hate that? But how would you like, listen, as bad as they weren't nothing compared to their leader. Because everything that was born in their heart and came out in actions came from their leader, the devil himself. In hell, friend, not only these human beings, wicked people are there, friend. I want you to know there's other things there. Revelation chapter 9 talks about there is going to come out of the bottomless pit, locusts. If it comes out of the bottomless pit, and guess where after they did their damage in the tribulation period, guess where they went back? Don't spiritualize that. A lot of people trying to spiritualize that and they miss it. This was actual, amen? This locust came up out of the pit, it says in verse 2. As the smoke of a great furnace and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Just the smoke that come out of the bottomless pit darkened the sun. That's pretty intense, I think. Said there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth that had the power as the scorpions. Read on down. It describes them as they are going to torment men for 5 months. And it says here in verse, it's going to be so bad, they're going to be so bad, so fearful, and so painful, that the Bible said that in those days Men will seek death and shall not find it. I'm talking about them creatures that comes up out of the bottomless pit are so indescribable that as they move about to torture men as a scorpion for 5 months, they were like horses prepared into battle. Their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Their faces were the face of men. They had the hair of a woman and teeth as a lion. And as they torture men for 5 months, it'll be so bad that men will seek death. What does that mean? They're going to try to kill themselves, jump off of buildings, shoot themselves, cut themselves, hang themselves, whatever other means that possible. But death will not be found. They shall desire to die, that verse says, and death shall flee from them. So why would I want to go to a place that's inhabited with people and things and creatures like that? It's a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness. I told you about the one place there, suns in northern western part of Alaska. The sun sets in late August and doesn't come up again until April of the next year. They call that the polar night. But you know what? Even those that live there, they know it's dark. It'll be dark tomorrow. It'll be dark next week. It'll be dark next month. But there's a day coming in April when the sun's going to rise again. They at least got something to look forward to, that this constant darkness is going to be dispelled with the sunrise. But if you wind up in hell, I want to tell you there's no break in the forecast. Nobody will break in on the intercom and say, we only have 2 more days or 10 more years or 1,000 more years of darkness and then the sun will shine again. No, constant, permanent, unending darkness. You know what the Bible calls it? How dark it is? It calls it chains of darkness. A darkness that is so dark that you're bound, you feel bound like chains. I mean, we think it gets dark at night. It don't get dark at night. You need to go somewhere where it is impossible for light to shine. Me and my wife, and back when Blake was little, we went, what was that name of that? Hidden Sea or whatever it's called. Hidden Sea. Where you go, I mean, just way down. Just keep going down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And way down in the earth there is a sea. It's a body of water. And they'll cut the lights out, thank God, just for a second. I mean, here I am. I don't even have a Bic. I don't have a cell phone, flashlight, nothing. And they cut the light out because they want you to see what complete, total darkness is. And I mean, soon as they cut the lights out, I mean, it's just like bondage. Because you can't move. You're afraid to move. You don't know where to move. Chains of darkness. A wise person would not choose to live in such a place. A wise person would get saved by the grace of God. But I know I mentioned those wicked people. And I know I left that hanging there a minute ago. But if you die, this is a good moral person. But you die without Jesus Christ, you'll go to the same hell. You'll go to the same hell. How many people under the same, that you and I have known in our life was good, decent, moral, good citizens, but they never got saved? That's sad, isn't it? Don't ever think that you go to hell because you're bad. And don't ever think you go to heaven because you're good. People goes to hell because they're not saved. And people goes to heaven because they were born again. Are you saved today? Do you know the Lord? Are you going to make a choice? That one, when I did research on those different things, one of the resources I looked at, it said no human being would choose to live in such a place. No, even as a human being, they are wise.